Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is.
Both the Ravens,
nevermore.
Shayna Baszler's gonna get beaten by a puppet, isn't she? That's what's gonna happen on Raw in the women's division. Just when you think it couldn't get any worse in WWE, I'm Mr. No, I'm not. I keep doing that. I'm Ollie. I'm good old-fashioned Ollie, and I am joined because Luke is off. But this is also just lovely in general, by Fightful's Sean Rossap.
The clown of the century is here with the man with new butt cheeks, new attitude, Ollie Davis. You seem sprightly. You seem so happy with these new butt cheek implants I keep talking about on Quizlemania.
It's literally giving me a bit of bounce here.
Yeah.
So what they can actually do is, because they can take hair from any part of your body and put it on your head. That was an option. I've got a hairy bum. It could have just gone straight onto my scalp.
Did you ever did you ever watch Ren and Stimpy as a child?
Yeah.
Do you remember when, I think Ren got butt cheek implants.
I remember like the extreme close-ups of things, and it'll be like a few stray hairs, a little bit of fluff.
They were so good at attention to detail, but here we are in a non-Quizlemania, non-watch-along format.
It's a collab. This is what the tubers do.
Yeah, this is what they do. I did that this weekend. I saw Denise's big ass head. I saw Izzy. I saw some other people. You guys weren't there. You're stuck overseas. That's sad.
I'm genuinely thinking about All Out.
You should. Xenia came over from Russia.
I
got hit up like maybe a day before, and she's like, "Hey, I've just decided to go." And I was like, "You can do that? It's Russia. Like you can just make a last minute decision and all the flights are available."
Is there a star cast this year? No. Surely they can just book us all for a live Quizlemania or something.
They said no. They said it's due to COVID stuff, but AEW had planned a fan fest for last May. They were going to do a bigger fan fest. I don't want to say bigger than StarCast. That thing was enormous, but they had their own fan fest planned for last year. We reported about it on FightfulSelect.com. And then COVID came along and they did a scaled down version this past weekend, which was fun.
Oh, where all the wrestlers were pretending to be their own action figures behind the glass.
So yeah, they had a setup where you could actually pose inside of like a wrestling figure package, which was cool. But then they had the meet and greet lines with the plexiglass and all that gimmick. And you walk up to the plexiglass and you turn around and you leave a thumbs up and all that stuff and get your picture taken. It was scaled back, but it was fun.
Just do the face smush on the plexiglass.
Do the old Jim Carrey from Cable Guy. There you go.
So before we get into Raw and how awful it is, how about we talk about you specifically are a kind of in the news. You're usually the man who breaks news, but then you have become what you break.
Oh, yes.
Because Eve Marie's current pinned tweet on her Twitter profile is for the clown emojis who said, "I'm not coming back to wrestle." And then she used an embed of the video package that ran for her last night on Raw, where she seemed to be doing a lot of training.
Yeah, well, they filmed that quite a while back. I just want to say, filmed that quite a while back. But everybody trains at the PC. Like, the managers train. The managers are taking back bumps. But WWE sources were telling me, as of 2 weeks ago, we've got other plans for her. The plan is to use her more to get somebody else over. Maybe that involves some wrestling, but at least the people I talked to on Raw were like, that's not the plan, but plans change, pal. Plans change, pal.
So at Maid of Ivory, who is one of her followers, said, "You tell them, Queen, prove all them haters wrong."
I'm not a hater.
Are you a hater? You're not a hater.
Me and Eva Marie follow each other on the Twitter. I'm not a hater. How would I be a hater? I'm not a hater. Stop calling
me. I can't find any.
I'm not a hater.
We're just tired, grumpy boys. That's what we are. Of course, Sean has already reviewed Raw with Denise.
I am a hater.
Last night on Fightful's YouTube channel. Do go and subscribe to them. I've already heard all your thoughts on this, but you were a grumpy boy because you were tired. You'd done Double or Nothing live. You got back. You watched Raw, and then you had to talk about it. Very tired. So I'm assuming, having slept, you love this Shayna Baszler stuff.
Yeah. So the wrestling gods, they're like, you know what? You're going to have three really good days in Jacksonville with amazing weather. Then you're going to land in Kentucky. You're going to be like, do I have a hoodie around here? It's only like 65. And then I'm going to review Raw twice. That's what I'm going to do. This was bad. This was so bad. I'm really convinced that whoever it is that's setting up so much of this creative has no idea what got these people over to the point to where they were called up to begin with. Not Rhea Ripley, not Shayna Baszler, because this ain't it. Now, I know you can't just do the same thing you did in NXT, but this is so bad. Shayna Baszler's character, keep in mind, I'm not talking about the person, no clown emojis, please. They had Shayna Baszler's character walk up to a doll and Alexa Bliss and say, "You're a problem, and you see what I do with my problems." And I was like, you got rolled up and pinned by your problem 12 minutes ago. What are you talking about? Like, that is the opposite of dealing with your problems. I don't know why she didn't just beat up Reginald so bad that he couldn't go to the Playhouse gimmick instead. Like, it was so stupid.
So a lot of people very wisely don't watch Raw and they rely on these recaps. So just so everybody knows what happened, we got the big Shayna Baszler versus Reginald match that they set up in the main event cliffhanger at the end of last week's show. Reginald got a lot of offense in. He got a lot of offense. And
he's
a
very
defense.
Talented guy. Like, he's really super talented. But like, we need him winning a match on Friday Night SmackDown in the lead up to WrestleMania. We need him beating Shayna Baszler. We need Tamina, who's getting a push, to not be able to pin Reginald. Like, that needs to happen too. Like, Reginald is unbeaten in his last three matches. He has not been pinned. The only person to beat him, honest to God, is Sasha Banks. That's sad.
Who do you think they're building him up for?
Who's the champ right now? Rhea Ripley. There you go.
Rhea Ripley, I think.
Winning streak.
Rhea and Charlotte can both beat him in under 2 minutes. Or maybe not.
Listen, there will be somebody on Twitter. If they give him a women's title match, they'll be like, well, he hasn't been beaten in his last three matches. I thought you wanted people on winning streaks. They try something different and you just crap all over it.
Just consistency. I think that's what people want from the criticism. They want consistent criticism. Yeah.
I just want things to make sense a little bit. Not like before somebody jumps in and goes, there's an Irish whip in professional wrestling. That's not what I mean, okay? That's not what I mean. I mean, I just want some things to make sense. I want to look at this and go, hey, wait a second. Didn't Charlotte get beat by the person that she just beat last week? Why doesn't that other person get a title shot? They were both in the same world title match. This is dumb.
So I think what does make sense is pyro is distracting. So if what happened in this match is the pyro goes off on the ring post and that distracted Shayna Baszler, understandably, and she gets rolled up by Reginald, and that's how Reginald got the win. Then later on, Reginald is in the playground, Alexa Bliss's playground segment. Lily wants to know, what's it like to be a Cirque du Soleil performer? You know, the gymnastic moves. And Shayna Baszler comes in, beats the crap out of him, and yes, as Sean already said, says, I want to face you next week. Bliss, I don't know if that means they're going to have a match or just like a their own playground segment in the ring. Oh, I'd probably assume it's that. And then she bent down to the puppet, addressed the puppet to say, you're not real, you're stupid.
These are two really good entertainers that are given really, really bad things to do.
Reginald and Shayna.
Oh, no, not Reginald. I mean, Reginald. Yeah, Reginald's a pretty good entertainer. I think he's an entertaining guy. I like the way he's able to avoid offense. It's I'm always like, wow, I can't believe that I just saw that. Poor Alexa Bliss. Like, she does the best with everything she's given. She gives it the old try, and at least the delivery will be exactly what WWE wants. She can do exactly what WWE wants her to do. And Shayna Baszler is so good in the ring that when I see her doing this other stuff, I'm like, you know, she'll also do what WWE wants, but what WWE wants isn't what literally anybody wants unless they have a fiend avatar on their Twitter.
There was that story last year when Shayna was wrestling in the sort of performance center era, and her and Natalya had a match that was too good, and Vince made them go out and redo it, so it wasn't as good. And then was like, she said in interviews, like, oh, and then I understood what I was here to do. Like, she's some form of captive victim who's finally started drinking the Kool-Aid of the company.
One of my favorite stories from that era was, I think it was Baron Corbin and Otis having to film a side slam like six straight times. And like, I think it was Otis delivering the move. And it's like, man, I from what I had heard in my interview with FTR, it's like, man, you don't want to be taken like six in a row from Otis. Like, he's a stout boy, as they say, six in a row. But I know that they're happy. So many of the wrestlers are happy. The live era is back, at least. That way they don't have to do that, because it got to the point where they micromanaged stuff so much when they were able to, and it still wasn't good.
So where do you think this goes from here? Because there is a...
Ollie, where do I think it goes? They don't know where it goes. What are you talking about?
Do you not think there is a...
No!
That there's like a worst case scenario here where it is Bliss and Lily winning the women's tag titles?
I don't think WWE knows that. They didn't know the finish of Randy Orton versus The Fiend the week before WrestleMania, and they started the feud 6 months before. There's no way they know what they're doing right now. There's not a chance.
Do you not think, though, because they obviously really like Bliss, they're very much into the her Fiend version.
Yeah.
Do you?
Oh, God. See, when I review old stuff that's terrible, I'm like, I can enjoy it a lot more because it's like, I don't have to deal with the crap that happens the next week on WCW 2000. When you put this into my brain, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to be reviewing Alexa Bliss and Lily with the tag team titles. And then there's going to be Nikki Cross, her former partner, just walking around like, yeah, lasted 2 minutes in the ring. Yeah. So, yeah, I definitely think that's a real possibility. And, like, they'll probably win it clean as a sheet from Tamina and Natty. Oh, boy.
Good old transitional reign. They deserve it. We used to have a thing called crap gimmick wrestling back in the day where people would submit on purposely very bad gimmicks. And one of them was a ventriloquist and their puppet. And they were a tag team. And you would have the ventriloquist go in, he'd work to the hot tag to the puppet. So as soon as he puts the puppet on the hand, that's when he runs wild.
I love it.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. And you just shoot everything from the wrist upwards.
I think it works better, like, as an indie thing, as the puppet's like sitting there on the ring post, it makes the tag, and then the person no-sells all the offense that happened before, And it's like Cobra yeah. strike over and over again. Like that's the way to do it. And then when he tries to pin the person, the ref's like, no, the puppet's got to do it. So he just drapes his hand over. It's that's a good indie gimmick right there.
Hooks a leg. Yeah.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Well, let's see what you guys think. Get your hyper chats into wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one of them before the end of the show.
Hyper chats? I thought they were ultra chats and mega chats. And
they're omega chats on AEW.
Oh,
and then I forget which one I say the rest of the time. So they do flip.
See, when I go to Streamlabs, I'm going to have to think of like something completely different. I'm going to have to do like dong chats or something like, cause you've got the jump on like every single term now, like super omega, mighty chats. Like I don't have anything.
I've got too many channels, Sean. I need a different saying for every channel.
It's true.
So then Trin says, with the history of being controlled by Lily, I think Baszler will have a feud with Charlotte next. Who is being controlled by Lily?
Oh, no. Wait, Charlotte is going to be controlled by Lily?
So I've got a theory that Charlotte is being sort of voodoo manipulated by Lily.
Oh, no. No.
It writes itself. Ket says Shayna Baszler has officially been asked. You hate to see it. I feel like that happened a long time ago.
Yeah, okay, so here's how I feel about that. Like, Asuka's booking, like, when she gets something, objectively stupid. But also, you have to remember, she has won Money in the Bank. She has won the Raw Women's title twice, the SmackDown's Women's title one time, a two-time tag champion. She won the Rumble. Like, Shayna has not been getting those peaks on Raw, even. I mean, now, when Asuka wins that stuff, she's getting distracted by James Ellsworth and being handed a title belt by Becky. Like, here you go, pal. There's a lot of weird things that happen. I mean, they couldn't have predicted the Becky thing. They did the best they could. But I don't know that Shayna will get to reach those heights, and she should. I think she could be something that WWE could really, really use.
I think when the company doesn't see anything in you initially, it is so, so rare for them to suddenly then see it while Vince is the guy making the decisions.
There's so many people that you have to show something to as well. You got to show something to the NXT higher ups. Then you got to hope that both Bruce and Vince see it in you. At least Vince. Vince has to be one of them. But you also have to hope that Bruce is one of them. So you got to get on the good side of Shawn Michaels, Road Dogg, whoever's writing. I think they got a fellow named Russo, not Vince. Johnny Russo writing in NXT. They've got Bruce Pritchard and Vince McMahon. So you got to look right to like five people to get a sustained push from the time you come into NXT through Raw or SmackDown. And that is not easy to do. It's so inconsistent week to week. And I used to listen to like Meltzer, and he would say, well, they just lost interest. And I remember like thinking, there's no way. Mm. And now when I talk to all these people, they're like, they lost interest. And I was like, that's how it really works. And it's really sad.
That's how I feel watching Raw, certainly 3 hours in. Dean Barretton, looking forward to Ed the Duck versus Brock Lesnar or Bobby Lashley versus Bungle from Rainbow. Ooh. I don't want to see Ultimate Puppet Fighter 2, etc. What a load of utter crap. Born to be Wild. Is Raw a comedy show now? I mean, I'm sure they want us to laugh about Miz and Morrison, Nikki, Charlotte and Rhea, RK-Bro, who are great. US title stuff, Reginald and Shayna versus a doll is just ridiculous. And as Pete would say, hate that. And finally, for now, Kit says, seeing Shayna Baszler destroy everyone at Elimination Chamber was awesome. Remember that?
Yes.
That feels like an eternity ago. That was last February.
Yes. Yeah, we got to chat about that. And I was like, I don't even remember it. Like, I'm good at Quizlemania because I remember all these cards from top to bottom. I don't remember that last year.
Do you remember the neck bite?
Yes, I do. So
yeah,
there were people super chatting on our Raw review last night, and they're like, oh, like last year she was biting Becky's neck, and now look at her. I said, that was not good either. Like, don't the fact that we're fondly remembering the neck bite. Yes. The fact that we're fondly remembering the neck bite shows you how far we've fallen.
And finally now, Kit. Oh, yeah, they've said that already. Elimination Chamber. How WWE managed to get this point with Shayna, I have no idea how it's possible. Well, they just lose interest, as Sean said. Well, speaking of losing interest, shall we talk about the rest of this episode?
No. We could sit here and stare at each other. And if we sat here in utter silence, I think it would encourage more chats. Because people will be like, when are they going to do it? Who's going to break? Who is going to break? Well, I tell you what, we're more likely to break talking about Raw than we are sitting in silence staring at one another. But you know what?
Do you want a staring contest? And everyone can see, everyone can tell us if this is better or not than Raw.
Okay, you ready?
I got laser eyes, dude. I'm ready.
I've got laser eyes. When did you get laser eyes?
Like 2 or 3 months ago. You got laser butt cheeks too, though.
I've actually had quite a lot of cosmetic surgery.
You're bionic.
Didn't realize that. It's just all piled up. Don't start yet.
What?
You don't... Okay. Rich is doing a poll. Everyone hit the thumbs up button and subscribe because 3, 2, 1. Oh, no, I'm already red. That wasn't a good start.
I've got 3 lighting rigs on my face right now.
Do you know this is... Oh.
What happened?
Can we go again? That was... I started to talk and I got distracted.
Oh, I mean, I did too. 3. I did too. Okay, yeah. Here we go. Okay. 1, 2, 3.
Oh wow, it's like I immediately want to.
You just talked again. God, I just went everything on your channel. See, look at that.
Wait. Are we doing not talking?
I thought so. I thought we were sitting in silence.
Okay, okay.
Okay, here we go. One.
This is the one. This is the one.
The others were warm-ups. Here we go. Sorry, allergy-induced asthma. Izzy thought I was dying at Double or Nothing. Here we go.
Three, two, one, stare.
Goddamn right I did! I'm so excited for the podcast listeners to leave you 5-star reviews for this.
It's great content.
It's amazing content. It's literally better than Raw.
I feel like I might have blinked like 2 seconds in.
You know what? That's how it always happens. I put these clear. Wait, I don't want to promote them, but put these eye drops in, and I open up my eyes, and it's like flooding sound. Like, oh no, You know. How long did you get LASIK?
I got mine when I was about 23. So Jesus, that's 10 years ago.
Did they still do the blade then, or they switched?
Oh my god! No, I had. Well, you could pay more for the laser. But I was a very penniless early 20-year-old. So it was the blade. Did they just like make an incision with the laser then?
Yeah, I don't know. It's horrifying to even think about a blade my eye, though.
So what happened is, you know, you're lying there and they put the anesthetic eye drops in. So your eyes are numb,
yes,
which is a weird sensation. And the surgeon goes to me, so you're just going to hear a little mosquito. And it was buzzsaw, this very, very fine buzzsaw that makes a tiny slit on your pupil, and they flap that open like a flap, and that's when they hit you with the laser, and then they close it up. It's done. It's all over in 5 minutes. Oh. Yeah.
I mean, the laser one was over very quickly too. But man, I'm still using the eye drops. I never used eye drops before LASIK, and now 3 months later, I'm still using them.
It'll go, I'm pretty sure. It felt like there was some gristle in my eyes for 3 to 6 months.
Yeah.
The one thing that doesn't come back fully is sort of night vision.
Yeah, I've noticed that. And the interesting thing is, I keep one of these filled with bleach for when Raw's on, and I can just... There you go.
I actually forgot that's what we were supposed to be talking about.
Supposed to be.
Happily have a nicer chat.
Come on.
So 95% of people voted to say that staring contest was better than Raw. It was a lot shorter.
The good thing is, this is a Raw review show. We can just rematch that 8 times and it will be exactly like Raw, which I think we did. We did like 4 matches right there.
We did 3. Yeah, we did 3 back to back.
That's not enough for a Raw feud.
And they kind of ended in DQs.
Yeah, Cedric and Shelton already have had 3 matches. Unreal.
So, what do you think of Jimmy Smith? He is the Raw commentator. No explanation of where Verk has gone. What do you think, like, people who just generally watch WWE programming and don't really engage online? They're just like, oh, so there's a new guy now? Do they think it's the same guy?
I like Jimmy Smith a lot, but, you know, I've covered a lot of MMA, and I remember him from Bellator and UFC and a lot of stuff like that. He was good then. I was surprised Bellator let him go, surprised UFC let him go, and here he is. And for a guy who has openly admitted that he did not watch wrestling as of a couple years ago, I thought he was pretty good. He didn't step out of his depth, but he didn't do the, oh, what a maneuver. Oh, wow. Whoa, look at that. But the thing is, almost everybody doesn't have Vince in their ear the first night. It's how they are after that.
Really?
Like Pat McAfee, Adnan Verk, they didn't have Vince in their ear the first night. Obviously, Adnan Verk was amazing the first week.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah. I would say that Adnan Verk got progressively worse as he went on because somebody started to tell him, oh, call moves as, ooh, ah, wow.
But Jimmy Smith, isn't that WWE's motto? Make everything progressively worse.
Yeah, it seems so. But Jimmy Smith knows some of the moves. He stayed in his depth. I liked the stuff he was talking about Reginald when Reginald came out, and he was talking about Byron having a dance contest with him backstage. I thought that was good stuff. I thought that he was, by WWE standards, outstanding.
What more can you ask for? It was it was definitely different. And it was definitely far more listenable than normal.
Yes.
But yeah, I just, I don't know why don't just bring Tom Phillips in or someone like that. It was a weird dynamic because
they fired him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's one big block.
Yes.
For him getting the lead play-by-play job that he doesn't work there anymore. But the... Yeah, it was a weird dynamic. Was Corey the lead commentator? He definitely seemed to step in a lot more.
It seemed like it, and they had leaned more into that with Adnan and Vert because they realized after week one, but they knew after week two it wasn't going to get better. And I had people telling me by week three he's not going to be around in a couple months. He won't be around by the time we get back on the road. I was like, man, but Graves had sort of taken the lead there already, so I feel like it's more of a transition. And instead of having Jimmy Smith jump into the deep end, they're going to ease him into it because he is supposed to be the play-by-play guy.
Well, you know what they say about the deep end. You are going to need a bigger boat.
Oh, God.
So Miz TV started things off. He's back after 2-3 weeks of both an actual injury and being eaten by zombies. They didn't really reference the zombie stuff, but John Morrison was wearing a string of garlic around his neck, which I guess was comedy, which I got a kick out of. I thought that was kind of funny for Morrison's character. I like him. But having now seen Army of the Dead, I watched it yesterday, freaking loved it. It's awful.
Yeah.
Dave is visibly bored in a lot of scenes. And there's one bit where his daughter gives this whole heartfelt speech of like, I forgive you for murdering so-and-so spoiler back in the day. I want us to work this out. And Dave just goes, so I want to open this food truck.
Yes. I love
make grilled cheese sandwiches, tofu maybe.
They added Tig Notaro in their post-production because they got rid of Chris D'Elia, the helicopter. Did you know that?
No.
So the woman flying the helicopter, she hasn't met like any of the cast. She's not met Dave Bautista. They replaced Chris.
Isn't it?
Yeah. But she replaced Chris D'Elia, who had already filmed his scenes, and he got accused of some stuff. So like, you could definitely tell that she was not there. Like, a lot of this is green screen. So that was very funny. Like, she just hovers into the shot sometimes. And I'm like, come on. They did the best they could. But I thought it was a zombie heist movie. Okay, I'll watch it. I thought it was solid. It was a fun watch. I'll say that.
It was, I didn't find it a fun watch at all. I found it was quite painful. But me and my lady partner, we were like, who's going to die next? And that was a fun game. It's bad. I got a kick out of it. It was in a bad way.
The game does not end in that movie. Jeez.
Yeah. You know what? I haven't finished it. I've got half an hour left. I fell asleep.
Oh,
yeah.
Buddy, you've still got plenty to... Let me tell you.
Blah, blah, blah. This was all just a way to set up Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair to set up another Beat the Clock challenge against Nikki Cross. And Nikki won because she ran away from Charlotte. So now what you've got is you've got Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley are building towards their match for the women's title by both losing. And Nikki Cross is going to be the next person to face the winner of that, which she has won by being a fool, being made to look like a fool.
Mm-hmm. And Nikki, one of the greatest tag team champions they've had, is like, oh my gosh, I made it 2 minutes. I made it 2 minutes. Do you think she gets a title shot off of this?
Wasn't that the deal?
No, I don't think it was. I think it was just her saying, I could beat either one of you.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that'll happen. I hope it happens, but this is so demoralizing and sad. And I said this last night, but Nikki Cross is already in good shape and she got herself in even better shape. And she's coming back. She got herself in better shape to have 2 minute matches. And 2 minute matches where she pretends that she is excited about it. And we know that woman is not excited about lasting 2 minutes. If you remember, and I know WWE doesn't, when she got called up, she wasn't on TV for like 3 or 4 months. And Alexa Bliss just walked up and started talking to her. And Nikki was like, you notice that I'm here? Like, nobody even knows I'm here. And that was the story, was that Alexa Bliss got her on TV. I would love to see them play into that. I would love to see Nikki Cross reference that. Like, I can't get on TV without her. And then when I do, it's in 2-minute matches. They won't let me wrestle more than 2-minute matches. And I have no desire right now to see Charlotte and Rhea Ripley do this, because what did not get Rhea Ripley over in NXT is coming out and being like, hee-hee-hee, hee-hee. That's what she does all the time. All the time. Charlotte's going to be Charlotte, and that works just fine. But I don't understand the fascination with driving every single match into the dirt so many times to the point to where we never want to see it again or don't want to see it for years.
Thankfully, we then got RK-Bro, which is, I think, objectively very good. So Damian Priest is backstage teaching Matt Riddle Spanish, which, you know, it's a bit frustrating to see Damian in this position after the highs of the Miz feud. But then Randy Orton pops out of nowhere. That was actually a really nice bit. So Riddle's asking him, what's Spanish for this? What's Spanish for bro? And he says, hey, what's Spanish for hey, Randy? And Damian Priest goes, hey, Randy. Because Randy was right there. I thought that was a good bit. But then Randy did the sort of Odd Couple bit. He mimed locking Riddle's mouth shut and threw the key away, and Riddle looked for the key. Very cute. Like, I'm surprised, given how annoying Riddle's character was earlier this year, I'm amazed how well it works when put up against the sort of salty antithesis with Randy. And this just followed into a pretty decent but short match against Xavier Woods, where, key point, Randy won, not with the RKO, but Matt Riddle's finisher, the Bro Derek.
It was a sad looking win too. Like, you hear all those create a pro wrestler in a lab and it'd be Randy Orton comments. Not if that's his finish. That was a rough one, which, I mean, not a lot of people do that move. It's a different kind of landing, so to speak. But if you ever watched Home Alone, movie Home Alone. So Riddle's character was like that kid that was by the van at the beginning of the movie that's like, bring me back something French. He would just ask questions over and over again. And it's cool to see Orton being like, no, I'm not upset that you used my finish. And we're seeing Randy Orton. We're seeing the lighter side of Randy Orton. And we're seeing Orton rub off on Riddle a little bit. And they're kind of meeting in the middle, so to speak. I think that this match should have been a little bit more with Woods, because Woods had that it was a breakout performance 13 years after he'd been on TV. Like, everybody knew he was good, but that was unreal. That had me thinking, like, okay, yeah, whatever Nakamura and Baron Corbin are doing with that crown on SmackDown, just send it over to Raw and let Xavier Woods be happy and do what he wants with it. But him using the Bro Derek was a cool touch. Even if it didn't look great, it was a great touch. And this is one of my favorite things on the show every single week.
And also, just at the end, because you're like, oh, he used Matt's finisher. Are they properly together now? No. They're just teasing that out a little bit more, because Riddle does his pose. And Randy is just about to do his sort of, you know, legend killer pose, but he thinks better of it and walks away. So, very well-paced story. After that, we got the Shayna Baszler-Reginald match that we've already spoken about. Then we got Mason T-Bar having a match against Lucha House Party, who, you know, they won. The whole gimmick was, I suppose, they're much taller than Lucha House Party. But exactly how much taller, Sean?
Did they say?
Jimmy Smith said that both Mason T-Bar are 6'7". That's the forbidden height.
What do you mean the forbidden height? Am I new to this gag?
Isn't that a thing? No one's 6'7" in WWE apart from like Hogan back in the day.
You're right.
So there was that promo 2 years ago that Roman Reigns cut where he said, I can't remember who, maybe it was Baron Corbin. He was saying Baron Corbin's really big. He's got to be like 6'6", 6'8", or something. And they never use 6'7".
Oh, you know what? I do remember that. That's a part of their gimmick. They came into WWE and they just smashed all the rules. They threw two cinder blocks through the same window, even though the window was already broken. So I mean, like they're breaking more, not glass ceilings, glass windows, so to speak. They are reaching the brass ring, which just so happens to be 6'7" above the ring that nobody else could grab.
People think Retribution accomplished nothing.
Yeah.
I say to them, what, they brought 6'7" back.
What do we call this team now? Because when I write it in my results, I just write not Retribution.
That's a pretty good name. Metribution used to be our one, but that was for the Retribution. Biker Mice from Farts was another one we enjoyed. But yeah, Mason, T-Bar, they haven't got the masks anymore. They just come off as so silly.
I'm glad that they're doing squash matches for these two, but we didn't forget the last year. Like, that happened, and it sucked really, really bad. And the reason the team broke up is because it sucked really bad, and everybody lost all the time. Now, what we're probably going to see is about four more of these matches with Lucha House Party, where Lucha House Party probably get DQ'd or vice versa, and then the Lucha House Party are going to win one of these matches, and then they're going to completely forget that this ever happened.
Whoa, you're forgetting about the singles ones.
Oh, yeah. We're
you
okay,
can spin so those off.
8 or 9, for sure.
Yeah. Speaking of multiple matches, I could do that segue for pretty much any segment. Sheamus took on both Ricochet and Humberto Carrillo in back-to-back matches. He believes neither of them are worthy of being the U.S. champion. I'd agree, because he's beaten them both easily already on twice, two occasions each.
According
not even with his finisher.
I thought it was a double countout or something, but Cage Match says it was referee's decision when Humberto messed up his leg. So
yeah, it was.
Sorry to cut you off. Please remind me, what happened here?
So Carrillo, distraction roll-up, caused the distraction roll-up for Ricochet, and Ricochet caused the distraction roll-up for Carrillo to win. So they have it. The babyface case they put forward is that, no, we still can't beat Sheamus.
So, yes. You say you watched my show last night, so you saw how I respond to booking of Sheamus. It's been the same for years as a heel. He bullies somebody, then they punch him in the face, and he shakes his face and goes, I'm mad now. And you get that shot of Sheamus leaning over the ropes like, I'm really mad at you, but I'm not going to run up that ramp and beat your ass over it. I'm not that mad. And then he has the match. This was the sixth match in 21 days that Sheamus has had with these two guys. He beat them both twice. Then they can't beat him without a distraction roll up and helping each other. They're going to get title shots off of this. He hasn't even been defending the title here. If you're Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville, like, what are you doing? Like, this not only makes the three people on screen look stupid, it makes the two authority figures look stupid as well. Who looked good here? This is a rare segment where it made people who weren't involved in it look bad. It was so dumb. So Ricochet and Humberto probably should be teaming, by the way. They look, that was the highlight, besides some okay matches that happened before this. Ricochet and Humberto doing that fast-paced, high-flying double-team offense was great. But they went from Sheamus having the best in-ring year of his career, wrote about it for WrestleTalk magazine, check it out, and then they're having him have less good matches by design, but win. And now they're just having it rolled up. It's the de-evolution of champions and why champions don't mean anything and why nothing matters on the show. Because if the titles don't matter and the champions don't matter, then wins and losses don't matter. And none of the matches before you get to a contendership match matters. And none of the other matches matter. It starts at the top. If the champions matter, everything else below it matters because you have something you're striving to get. However, when the champions are getting pinned back-to-back, distraction roll-ups, nothing matters. It filters down. Because if they're telling me wins and losses don't matter, why am I watching the show? Why am I not catching it on YouTube? Why am I not watching Fightful or Wrestle Talk and hearing them talk about what happened and just watching the pay-per-views? Pay-per-views are really good. You know why? Because the wins and losses matter on them because they're always for a title. This sucks.
So safe to say, Sean didn't like that segment.
No, not a bit.
Sheamus's nose got busted open, though. That was fun.
He's a tough son of a
bitch. Poured all over his chest.
Yeah.
Looked like he'd just eaten someone's head.
Yeah. That would have been more interesting. I mean, look, I mean, we're fondly remembering Shayna Baszler eating somebody's head, so why not? Let's go back to the future. Let's fix this show.
Evolution got her coming soon package next.
This is me putting on my clown makeup right now. Mm-hmm.
Then we got Naomi and Dana Brooke. Sorry, Naomi and Lana versus Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose. Natalia and Tamina on commentary. I was set to hate this, and it was okay. So
bad. I thought it was real bad. Yeah? I thought the timing was off. There were a couple spots, like that Okada roll was really rough. And I'm okay with sloppy fights, matches, because sometimes I watch MMA fights where people are swinging at each other and slip and fall down. But they also did a modified version of Crime Time's move, the G9 off the second rope, which I like them doing, but it was off. It was off by a little bit. And I was like, that's a bummer. But I do like Mandy and Dana's new presentation, the matching outfits. Lean into it. Why, might as well. But other than that, I was like, okay. I'm glad they're giving them time, but they're about to get a lot of time because they're going to face Tamina and Natalya 9 times. Hope they do a staring contest at least once.
I think I liked it just because it was a clean finish and it didn't have Nia Jax, Alexa Bliss, Shayna Baszler, Reginald anywhere near it.
Plus, when Dana Brooke went outside and bit Tamina, that was amazing. I'm just going to start pretending that happened now. She bit Tamina and ate her head. And I was like, you know what? This is just like before the pandemic. So I was all for it.
Yeah. Bad Bunny mentioned WWE, so let's play that clip. He spoke to LeBron James, so now LeBron James is going to be at SummerSlam, right?
Do you remember when WWE sent The Undertaker backstage at a Cleveland Cavs game in full gear to meet LeBron James? This is a few years ago, right?
I thought weren't there quite a few wrestling fans on that team, though?
Yes. LeBron James wore an Undertaker shirt to the arena, and WWE is like, oh, we're going to send the Undertaker there. We're going to get it on screen. And you know what didn't happen? LeBron James didn't come say hi to him because LeBron James is not a dummy, and he doesn't like being played like that for free publicity. Kevin Love did. Kevin Love, very good basketball player, big fella. Some other people did, not LeBron James. So you got the Undertaker rolling up full gear like, Dana Warrior was with him. Michelle McCool was with him, and they're just chilling in the tunnel. Oh, it was so rough. I felt bad for the Undertaker there because you know that he was also like, man, this is so stupid.
Like pimped out.
Like WWE has connections with everybody. They couldn't have just set it up with LeBron's people. LeBron is a WWE meme. Him sitting there with a flip phone, taking a picture, front row. You could get a hold of his people and make it work. Oh, this is bad.
Then we got Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander.
When you blinked during that staring contest, you missed the whole thing.
It was a thumb to the eye. It was a thumb to the eye from Cedric. 30 seconds max.
What you guys didn't see, because maybe the stream froze up, Cedric ran into Ollie's shot, raked his eyes, and it was over. That was it. That's his new finish. That's the gimmick. Okay, we're going to see this again next week too. Because how do I know? We've seen it 3 times, and Shelton can't let this stand. Old man Shelton, he's like, no, glaucoma might take me. But your hand raking of the eyes is not, sir. So they're going to do this again.
So there's a part of me that may be foolishly optimistic because it's not like pre-pandemic, the shows were so fresh. But I feel like I'm hanging a lot of hopes on it because it's so repetitive right now.
Yeah.
That they're just saving all their new programs, all their angles.
No, stop it. Stop it. Remember? Oh, they're saving it all for the Fox debut. Oh, they're saving it after the brand split. Oh, they're saving it for after Mania. Oh, they're saving it for Ollie. Do you remember what happened in December 2018 when the McMahons came out?
Yes. Okay. And but there's no authority figures now.
Okay. Yeah.
There's no automatic rematches.
Dude, since December 2018, do you realize how many scapegoats they've had? They had the You Are the Authority thing. That was December. They called up NXT people after that. They didn't even assign them a brand. They're just like, float around. Half of you aren't going to be on the show anyway. EC3, Nikki Cross, not even going to be on the show. Then they're like, oh, we're hiring Eric Bischoff. Oh, we're hiring Paul
Heyman. Oh, God, I forgot about that.
Exactly. Then they're like, oh, we're firing Eric Bischoff. We're firing Paul Heyman. Then they're like, oh, we're hiring Bruce Pritchard. Then they're like, oh, you know what we're going to do? We're going to turn the lights out on Raw for like an hour for 2 weeks.
What's a good idea, though?
And then they're like, oh, you know what we're going to do? No commercials during matches. We're just going to reset matches. We're going to do 2 out of 3 falls. That's what we'll do. That'll fix it. Then they're like, no. What about a wild card? What if we just did that? That would fix it. That would make our show not suck. And this was after a shakeup. Remember that? When after WrestleMania, they're like, oh, we'll do a shakeup. That's what we're going to do. And then they were like, wait, Fox, you're going to want this person? And they just redid a bunch of the people. They just sent them back. Well, then after that, they're like, oh, well, we better just do a full-on draft since we screwed up that wild card and that shakeup. They did a draft 6 months after the shakeup. That's how bad it was. Then, Ollie, you know what they did? When investors called in and they said creative sucks, ratings suck, they hastily planned the next Raw. They're like, oh, shit. Shane, what do you got? He's like, Raw Underground, baby. Raw Underground. And you know what else they did to establish new stars? They hastily put together, not even knowing who's going to be in it, Retribution. They threw some 5'2" dude in a mask waddling towards a camera saying, you might want to go home. You might want to go. It's dangerous here. Okay, bud, that's a great start to it. And then, Ollie, you know what else they did to fix it? They said, brand-to-brand invitational. Let's do that. Boy, that's been a rousing success. There's always a scapegoat. There's always something. I remember for a while it was injuries. Mm-hmm. Now it's the pandemic. There is always a scapegoat for it to not be Vince McMahon's fault. There's always a scapegoat for it to not be the 75-year-old guy probably shouldn't be writing creative for 30-year-old women. There's always going to be somebody else to blame. And there will always be another scheme instead of just, let's make this make sense.
So Elias and Jackson Ryker are breaking up.
That was awkward. Elias is like, you ever been in battle? And Ryker's like, bitch, I was in Fallujah. I went to Iraq. Although he wasn't as exciting as that, because that would have been way more entertaining. I didn't know if this was a write-off or a babyface turn, because if it's a babyface turn.
Yeah, so I guess the theory is on Memorial Day as well, yes. When the episode went out, they potentially are going to repackage Jackson Ryker as a PTSD suffering.
That's what I thought. When they had Elias cutting that promo, I was like, oh my God, are they about to like have him shoot on PTSD? I thought, and I've got very close friends that have been in the military, and I've had some scary 3 a.m. talks with. They really, really suffer with this. The things that they saw and the things that they experienced and the way that it affects them. I thought they were legit about to have Elias Ryker go, you know what? We're about to go on the road and I really don't want to be around somebody with PTSD because he's unpredictable. Because that's what that line made me think. Yeah. Was unpredictable. And I was just like, oh my God. Oh shit. Oh shit. Oh shit. And then they basically just made him go, yeah, this guy sucks. And I was like, oh, well, he does. But oh, that was getting dangerous.
Well, I'm sure WWE, we can trust in them to handle that story sensitively if they go down that path.
Yes. I'm sure that they won't completely screw that up.
But in all of this, AJ Styles and Amos won. AJ worked pretty much the entire match. Amos got a tall tag, which is what I'm calling a hot tag to Amos. It's not like he doesn't really run around, but he is very impressive at just throwing people a boot. And Elias left Ryker in the ring, which is weird because there hasn't been any hints towards a split up. This sort of like staring into the distance hasn't been a part of Ryker's character up until now. So, yeah.
I think had that stuff not emerged, and I don't even mean like the Trump support stuff. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean the other stuff. Had that not emerged, they maybe could have went somewhere with them collectively. The Forgotten Sons collectively. Like maybe seeing that, okay, maybe we have an ill view of things, and they could have been babyface. Jackson Ryker, at no point of his career that I have watched have I looked at him and said babyface. And I watched a lot of TNA back in the day too.
After that we got Mansoor. Well, we got Alexa's Playground after that, but we've covered that. Mansoor got a pep talk from the Viking Raiders telling him that to get over you need to have a catchphrase.
This sucked.
That to the tour.
This sucked. Ali ruled. He was great.
Yeah. Ali then came in and was like, don't trust anybody. And I thought Mansoor was really good as well.
Yes.
Mansoor was like, well, then I shouldn't trust you. A smart baby face thing to say, because usually it's like, okay, I'll be part of your faction then. And Ali says, now you're getting it. So yeah, there was something.
Do you have any references? And he goes, Mace, T-Bar, Slapjack. Yeah, give them a call. But I love that Mustafa Ali was like, exactly, you shouldn't trust me. Ooh, that was a good line. And I bet you he thought of it himself, because that's the only confidence that I have, because he did his own promos years ago. He would send them like to the production team directly, because that's what Vince wanted. I wish Vince would want that a lot more, because this seems like the kind of thing that Mustafa Ali would be like, hey, can we do this? And they were just like, yeah, y'all won't be on TV for the next 2 weeks anyway, so let's do it. It won't take much time. And it ruled. It made me want to see what happens next as much as anything. But if I were Mustafa Ali, I'd be saying to Mansoor on TV, hey, did anybody mention that you were on a 49-match winning streak? Because that should show you that they don't care about you. Did Humberto care about that winning streak? Because that should show you that he doesn't care about you. Really gas the guy up.
Yeah.
And be like, I just got here and they're already treating me bad. Like, really play on those emotions.
And the main event with Bobby and MVP partying backstage with the women. Did you see MVP's tweet to a fan?
No, I didn't.
So a fan alleged that the women were sort of paid for of the night. And MVP sort of quote retweeted this. It's been deleted now. Saying, no, how dare you? That's disrespectful. Anyway, we left your mum and sister on the corner. So implying that these couldn't be prostitutes because the only prostitutes were this Twitter person's family, which was very funny, I thought.
Yeah.
Why are they there?
Why are they there? To enhance Bobby Lashley's character and make him look like a ladies man, I guess. That's really odd. To make MVP look like he can pull some strings, so to speak.
Do you think the Hurt Business would have been a better way to make Bobby look cooler? Being surrounded by the Raw Tag Team Champions, Shelton Benjamin, Cedric Alexander?
Yes, I do. I think that would have been a lot better. And they could have added to that group and got more people over, and then maybe would have cared about something that happened in the show. But instead, nah.
Well, the main event, Kofi Kingston versus Drew McIntyre, which was going to have a clean finish. Well, it did. But that's not really... Raw saying that isn't a guarantee that will happen. Bobby was banned from interfering. He could have been suspended for 90 days and fined monies. And this was a really good match. They went 15, 20 minutes, I think. Drew is just, like, unfortunately, WWE have made me not want to see Drew at the moment, which is crazy because I love Drew so much. But I really do appreciate him trying to make Raw better. Like, I think every time he goes out, he's like, whatever crappy story or repetitive booking I'm getting, when the bell rings, I can be in control of the quality. And it is of a very high standard.
The fact that one of the main selling points of Raw was, no, no, we swear, this one won't have a screwy finish. And that says a lot. I thought this was a pay-per-view quality match. Mm. I thought it was really good. Loved the finish. I loved the finish. I loved the tease. I could kind of see it coming when they went into the Trouble in Paradise. But they got, I mean, that move got so over. So over when Kofi was a top guy that they sold me a ticket there. I was like, oh, they're going with Kofi. Yeah. I feel like Drew might actually win the title back for his run with fans, because it's like, why else would you go back there? If you're just going to have somebody lose to Lashley, why not it be Kofi Kingston? But then I think about it. I'm like, wait, I'm watching WWE Monday Night Raw. That's why they do everything so many times that you don't want to see it again. This is going to be like the fifth, sixth Lashley Drew match in a year. I wish it would have been Kofi. People can see him as a top guy. And I know there's a whole lot of fuddy-duddies out there that are like, he didn't convince me. Well, that's cool. You're a dork then, because that run was good. He was good. That win was magic. I feel like it would have been a really great shout to do that. And then Drew could do literally anything else besides hang out with Lily. I don't want that.
Hmm. Kofi cut a really good promo as well ahead of this match backstage.
Yeah, but he also bit Drew McIntyre's neck and took us back to pre-pandemic. So, I mean, this was amazing.
So Drew won. He's going to face Lashley for the title at Hell in a Cell. But surely you give McIntyre the win back in front of fans, which is Money in the Bank. Because is Hell in a Cell in the Thunderdome?
Yes.
When are they going back on touring, though?
July.
It's before them, right?
It's going to be a long 7-8 weeks, buddy. Geez. Oh, boy. So,
I mean, do you have Brock Lesnar come back? Cost Drew that match, and then you can have... Then you can start building to Lesnar-Lashley at SummerSlam.
Well, if you do that, you probably got to have Lesnar beat Drew en route to that.
And have that match at Money in the Bank. And Brock can win Money in the Bank as well. Saying,
you know who has a match left on their deal this year, right?
Goldberg. Oh, but there's a Saudi show surely going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
He'll be on that.
That's a good point. He'll be on that.
So, yeah, I think a lot of people are down on Drew getting this match, which is, I kind of agree with, unfortunately. WWE have taken a really good babyface and pushed him too much and at the same time beaten him a lot. So it's like they've managed the worst of both worlds. It's stunning.
It is. It's not that stunning. It's WWE.
Stunning the bad way, I guess. So overall, I gave this episode 2 out of 5. How about you? What would you rate it?
1.5 out of 5, because the main event was good. We saw a tag title match that kind of mattered. There were a couple good things on there. A lot of people got their necks bit off. So that raised it up a couple points. It reminded me of what it was like when fans were there.
Well, we've got a bunch of hyper chats. I'll speed through them because we're already at our hour mark. And me and Sean are still sleepy boys. Sleepy boys. WrestleTalk.com/support, though, that's where you can get them in. Anthony Velasquez: Raw, as usual, is very bad. Women's division continues to be one of the worst parts of the show because of bad creative. And Sheamus looked like an absolute idiot last night, lost twice in a row to distraction roll-ups. Nicholas Lama: I'd rather watch another Stadium Stampede than Raw and another Drew title shot. I don't think there's anything controversial about that. Matt Shaw: we were so close to a new main event feud. Kofi versus Bobby would have been great, and they're giving us the same again. So disappointed. Need something fresh badly. Could the hair people take hair from my head to give me a head? Hairier, Oh, you want a hairier ass?
Oh, you know, I wonder if they do that.
They probably can do it scientifically, medically.
Yeah.
I just doubt the demands there to make it an industry.
Huh.
You can get eyebrows and beards done. So eyebrows, beards, and hairs were the only ones offered. Jay Gupti, if AEW Double or Nothing was the crazy carnival party last night, Raw was the worst hangover of that party. No saying that the show was bad, as really like the RK-Bro stuff, but damn, Reginald and Alexa made my head ache. Hope you lads see JD Drake versus Jungle Boy on Elevation. I haven't seen it yet, but goddamn, I love the wingmen.
I can't wait to see that. JD Drake has been wonderful on there. Like, he's such a contrast to the other guys that it worked really, really well. I've been enjoying them. And that's what Vince McMahon said about Raw to me personally. That's what he said to me. And I was like, wow. Oh, we're back.
Oh, my God. That's a crazy story.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. And then he said, you're going to be on that show with Ollie, right? He's got those new ass cheeks. He was very impressed.
Well, he's got a strong hairline. I wonder where he got that hairline from.
He really does.
Also, so back to Alpha Wolf. Also, please let the puppet die and Jinder DeCoste Drew at Hell in a Cell. That could be a way they do it. Give Drew a Jinder program going into SummerSlam. Matthew McFadden. A plus side to getting a new job means I can't stay up until 4 a.m. to watch Raw. Also, Bliss's current character is what Bray would have been if WWE had full creative control. Speaking of Wyatt, a one-of-a-kind talent not getting used at all. This company.
Hmm.
Where is Bray?
I wish I knew.
Also, I should probably... Yeah, sorry. Our producer's internet or computer just blue screen there.
Yeah, that's what happened. That's what happened when we were
just
gone.
Just went right back into the Adnarag Srivastava. So sorry, I butchered that. Weird Reginald didn't even main event Raw like last week, LOL. Given up on him already. HCB, hi guys, Raw rubbish? I'm shocked. Seriously. Why did WWE forget basic storytelling with their women? I never know face heel dynamics, who is meant to be better than others, no endpoints, or what the hell people want. Every woman feels the same at the moment. I will give WWE this, in that I feel like they do equally book their divisions badly.
Yes.
It's regardless of gender.
So somebody last night asked me if AEW had a better women's roster. And I said, no, I don't think so. But they book that roster way better. And that's the big difference. You can't just rely on talent if the creative you're going to apply is terrible. You have to make it more interesting. And right now, Britt Baker is more interesting to me than anything that WWE is doing with their women.
Bacon Rasher. Hi, lads. Always nice to have you on Wrestle Talk, Sean. Now, Monday night poor. Poor is Raw. There may be no Luke today, but this company. After what AEW put on, we get this from WWE. Stick a fork in me. I'm done with Raw. Bacon done. Have a nice day. Bacon Rash, you'll be back next week. We all will.
Yeah. One of our reviewers, Alex Pawlowski, he does what he calls sour graps because he got so overly negative about WWE, even more, that I was like, listen, we'll give you a show behind the paywall, and people love it. But he has what they call the Monday Night Monkey's Paw, where you wish for something, and you're like, oh, it happens, but it's a distraction roll-up. Oh, I want Cedric to get some wins. Oh, it's this way. It always happens. It always comes with a caveat.
Sam Mort. I'm so sorry you've had to put yourselves through watching this. I was literally just fantasy booking Asuka versus Shayna's rebuilding and woke up to see she lost to Reginald and is fighting a puppet. Is Raw Women's Division worse than AEW's when it started? Well, as Sean said, it's not how it's presented. AEW's was never presented badly. It just wasn't presented much at all. Bryson Yee. First of all, Fightful Select represent. Of course, everyone go over to Patreon and get out a Fightful Select subscription. I salute everyone that actually watched Raw after watching Double or Nothing the night before. Real dedication. Opinions on the new announcer.
I like Jimmy Smith a lot. If this is how he is the first week, I hope it stays up.
The intangible one, Ryan B. Bad. Can we have a Shayna feud with Orton so we can send her to AEW so she can actually have a good run as a pro wrestler? Also, can't wait till one of the Muppets like Miss Piggy comes to fight Lily. Have you seen this theory that whoever Randy Orton legend kills ends up in AEW?
If that's the case, Triple H is calling up Shawn Michaels and he's like, hey, pal, what's
up? Let's get that new multi-year deal signed.
Mark Henry. So when I saw that, I was like, oh, cool. Mark Henry's not going to be elbowing us out of the way at the media scrums anymore like he did. I think it was Chicago. And then he was still there doing media stuff at the AEW media scrum. He was wonderful. He looks incredible in person. Jesus, he's lost so much weight. He looks like he's about ready to break somebody in half and rip their spine out of their ass.
Jericho said he reckons he's going to wrestle.
I hope he does at least one match. At least one match would be nice. Bummed
against Leo Rush.
Oh gosh, I was happy to see that too because I hear he's grown a lot in that period. But when I asked, I asked somebody who is his friend, is Leo coming into AEW? And this was when he got fired. And they're like, no way, not a chance. So glad to see that even if somebody has heat with the wrestlers, Tony's going to be like, what I say goes. I like that. Mm. I am bummed that Mark Henry will not get to wrestle Walter because I thought that was a perfect retirement match. Send Mark Henry over for a UK taping, have him squash three guys, and then lose to Walter, and Walter just beats the crap out of him.
Yeah. Norm Summers, sending a dong chat to the boys. It's getting over. But trying to make sense of this nonsense, Raw is making me dumber. I used to talk words good, now not no more. RP Degnan, wasn't going to chat today, but I felt someone needed to apologize to the podcast listeners for the staring contest. While I'm here, I wish I never saw Nikki or Shayna in NXT, would make Raw far less upsetting. James Hanley, is the Shayna versus Puppet stuff WWE's Rick Steiner versus Chucky? Also, it's worth noting that Simon Miller has now counted 68 distraction finishes in WWE since the beginning of the year.
We had Gisberto Guzzo, one of our writers, do some stats. It was like 48%. It was like DQ, no contest, distraction, something like that. And that's just the finish. That doesn't even include matches that had interference and it didn't end the match.
Primetime Flea Gunner. I decided to drunk watch Raw because of the new hire and phew, glad I had some Dominican rum because Shayna jobbed, Kofi just gets wasted to further a storyline that's been going since last year and a Miz TV opening with Charlotte. Raw was below poor. Eternal Blue. One tag team made this a 2 out of 5. Davis, Raw is stealing your own self-respect. 1 out of 5 at best. Please, all you beautiful people and also SRS, watch better wrestling. I can't believe 1 million people a week watch this shambolic television program.
I think it's funny that you implied that I don't watch other wrestling. I watch Dark, Elevation, AEW, NXT, UK. I watch Main Event. I knew what was going on a Main Event and people were like, what do you mean gender came back? Yeah, he came back. I watch literally all cable televised wrestling. I even watch NWA for the love of God. I watch everything.
What's the best, the most consistently best one in your opinion? If someone Dynamite. Was only going to watch one, yeah?
Dynamite, without a doubt. AEW Dynamite is the most cohesive show out there right now, and I don't think it's even close. NXT UK hasn't been bad, though.
Necrotic Cortex. This was officially the Raw that broke me. How can they see someone as talented as Shayna and decide to have her lose to Reginald and feud with a doll? RK-Bro is the only thing that keeps me watching this company. Andrew the Last Airbender. I can't believe that last week I was so excited about the potential return of Kofi Mania. I blame myself. At least the Power Rangers gear was pretty cool. Thanks for powering through the hot garbage for our entertainment. Appreciate you guys. Kofi was wearing Green Ranger gear, which looked awesome.
I love that. I mean, of course, the Green Ranger always had the cool vest. So, I mean, I like the nod. I thought that was really cool.
Heel turn, you reckon?
Oh, God. I don't think so.
Well, Tommy did.
It's true. That's true. He's going to wear his white Power Ranger gear next. And he already has some of it. He's got plenty of it that looks like it. No, Tommy turned babyface, didn't he? He was a heel originally and turned babyface. Started playing a flute.
Have you ever thought of doing old TV shows or wrestling and just old TV shows or movie franchises and booking it out like a wrestling program, because Fast and Furious would be fascinating.
Oh my God.
See all the heel turns and debuts and returns.
I gave up on that show, on that movie series. I gave up on it when they're driving from... Ollie, don't look at me like that. They went from stealing DVD players in a bunch of Hondas to driving from one skyscraper and launching themselves into another and landing on the skyscraper. I watched Roman Reigns and The Rock throw a tow hitch to a helicopter while rounding a turn. It ain't me. It ain't for me.
But it evolved steadily.
But the Irish whip doesn't make any sense.
Survivor 1993. Triple H and Braun Strowman survived attempted vehicular homicides. AJ Styles returned after being buried alive at WrestleMania 36. And now The Miz returned after being eaten by zombies. It would appear that WWE heels can't die. Do you think lives and deaths no longer matter? Like wins and losses?
No, nothing matters there. Mm. Nothing matters except for the moment. They work towards the moment. And for example, Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair had a miserable build, but that moment was good in spite of that. So that's all that matters is the moment. And then after that, they forget how to book people. Well, they don't forget how to book people. They just continue doing what they were doing.
LJ Mickey. First of all, I feel bad for Sean to review Raw twice. Is WWE just waiting for fans to come back to do better storylines? Sean's already answered that. I think they are saving some stuff for fans to come back. Thanks for the content. Sorry for my bad English and jam that jam. The English was perfect, LJ Mickey.
Here's a crazy idea, Ollie. They should just book good stuff all the time. That way fans will want to come back.
You'll exhaust them. All the pops would have gone. Alfonso Jones, prediction. After 3 weeks of being back on the road, Vince will realize he's not getting the audience reaction he wants and will promptly return to the Thunderdome where he can control the audience reactions to the bad Raw stuff. I think the novelty of being back live is going to wear off very quickly for weekly WWE TV. And I think we're going to miss the Thunderdome because I think the Thunderdome is better than a dead crowd.
I don't. I'd rather, because for the last year and a half, what hasn't been a part of our reviews is how the crowd reacted to something. Like that used to be a fair gauge. Tamina got a push because she got a bit of a pop at WrestleMania. And that's what led to this. But this past year and a half was like Vince's dream, and he still couldn't book a babyface to get over when he controlled the reactions. He couldn't book a babyface to be over.
The Zornice, WWE telling Mansoor to bulk up. Somewhere in Jacksonville, Darby Allin is having a laugh. Yeah, so this is I don't know who reported it. Was it you?
No, I haven't heard that.
Yeah, so I didn't really read the article, but the idea is, Mansoor has been told to put on some size.
Jesus Christ. I mean, you know what? Some really good athletes are 170 pounds, and maybe WWE should just lean into that. It's working all right for AEW. Like, I mean, you see people get in better shape, but there are just some really good athletes that are 170 pounds and can beat up bigger guys. That's just the way it is.
Charles Berg has very kindly been sending us pictures of dogs that he looks after because it's like Monday Night Paw, PAW, to help us through this terrible run of Raw. Now, you are a cat person, as am I. You've got a lot of cats in the house. Is it going to be okay to put this picture of a dog up?
Yeah, I've got two rescue dogs as well.
Oh, there you go. A man of many animals.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Oh, that's a good boy right there. Look at that smile. I love his little paws being white. It's like he's wearing shoes. It's very cute.
So this is paw review number 6. This is Layla, a timid Weimaraner pit bull mix who needs some time before she warms up to you. But whenever she sees me, she's the happiest clam in the ocean. Nicknames Potato Chip. Hoorayla. Sean may be the dong lord, but I'm the dog lord.
Ooh,
yes,
I like
are,
it,
Charles Berg.
I like it. What a legend.
RG says, hey, Sean, I can't believe I saw you at Double or Nothing this weekend. Tripped over my own mum trying to say hello briefly.
Yeah, I did too.
I'm glad to have watched the show alongside you, even if we weren't able to talk. Thanks for being so kind about the whole thing.
Yeah, of course. I appreciate everybody that came up and said hi. It was humbling that like people were messaging me like, can we get a picture with you and Denise? And I was like, well, Denise can go to hell, but yes. Because I mean, Denise got she's got a big ass head. It's got to be me or Denise. It can't be both of us.
Not in the same frame.
No, no way. I mean, maybe if they got to stand back like six rows and have the picture taken, like super wide shot. They had to do like one of those panorama gimmicks, you know, where you're like this with your phone. Yeah, you got to take the whole view and all that.
Were you moreover like pre-pandemic shows that you went to? Was anyone coming up to you?
Yeah. Like in Vegas a couple years ago, quite a few people came up to me in Chicago. I wasn't out much for Revolution last year, so it didn't really happen then. I kind of stayed in. But this year, yeah, it was my profile has increased significantly since before the pandemic. And it is legitimately really humbling. I'm like, why would you want to take a picture with me? It's cool, but I'm not used to it. I don't think I'll ever be used to it.
Well, it's well deserved. Nate S, looking forward to see if Sean Ross Sapp can rage rant about Raw as good as Luke. I think he gave put you both on the same show.
Oh boy,
just be a never ending rant. Oh, boy. A little disappointed I didn't get a chance to meet you at Double or Nothing, but the show was an amazing experience. What was your favorite place you checked out while in town?
In Jacksonville.
Yeah, for Double or Nothing. Yeah.
I went to the beach legitimately just to FaceTime my wife and be like, hey, look, I'm at the beach. That was cool, but I didn't get to travel much. Like I spent so much time, like I was talking to wrestlers most of the time. I didn't get to like go visit a lot of places. I'll tell you something funny that happened though. We were walking into a bar, myself and some other media members, and it's next to a minor league baseball stadium. We park, we turn around and John Alba is walking around with a baseball. We're like, what? Why do you have that? He was like, it just bounced to me from across the road. It hit a car and landed here. So he's walking into a bar with a baseball. That was pretty cool. But we walked up on a tailgate party and these people fed us, which was incredible.
Oh, cool.
That was nice.
Darren Lloyd, staring contest, much more interesting than the 2 minute beat the clock. Dean Breton, a 7-star staring match. Love the bumps and the false finish.
God, it would have been dramatic. 10 stars in the Tokyo Dome.
Have you ever seen a British sketch show called Big Train?
Never.
Oh, I might send you the staring contest skits. It's like an anime, and they're commentating on it like it's a football match.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, there it goes. And
I love
Brian
it.
Brian F. I hope Sean doesn't yell at me again. Jokes aside, I love both of your guys' work. Sadie6969, the boys are looking beautiful this great Tuesday evening. Just got home from work, and I'm so happy to see my positive King Senpai Dong Lord live on my screen. Love you both. Didn't watch Raw. Assume it was S-word. No, Shayna deserves better. J Gabriel, Dong Lord, and Oliver, this is my Ultra Chat putting me over because it's my birthday. Happy birthday, Justin Gabriel. No, J Gabriel.
Maybe it's Justin Gabriel. PJ Black.
James Hanley. I feel bad for you guys. Here's a meme of a raptor holding a rocket launcher while riding a shark.
Ooh.
Cool. Instead of the joke punishments, the WrestleTalk loser should have to cover Raw.
Oh, God. We went from needing three people like on staff to cover what happened on Raw a few years ago to one person. And that one person like looks for things to write, like specifically like tries to find things to write.
Sam Mort, let's quickly talk about good wrestling because Raw has been awful. Do you think at AEW All Out, we're going to get Paige Omega, Cody Miro, Darby and Sting, versus the Bucks, and Rosa versus Baker. And will you be against any of those? Jam that Fightful.
yes, I think we could get all of them, and I think the crowd is going to react much differently to Miro and Cody than what Cody wants, because Miro is super over, especially when he threw that goddamn snake. I have never laughed so hard at anything in wrestling in person in my life. And afterwards, Denise joked to Tony. She's like, do you think PETA's going to be calling? And Tony was not in on the rib at all. He was like, no, of course not. We would never do that. We would never do anything like that. Like, it's a joke, man.
Well, they've had the bad incidents in the past. There was the Cody's dog getting scared. There was Hangman's horse. Yeah. So he's probably like a bit jumpy when it comes to animal stuff. Bacon Rasher. Hi, lads. So AEW Dark Elevation was good again and with a crowd. Were you at that show?
No, I was not. I landed as it was going on the air, unfortunately.
The Page-Cage situation with Cage and Page is a slow burner, but I still want it in a cage on Rampage. FDF, and where are our out F everyone tease, please? Thanks for watching so we don't have to, lads. We're working.
I don't know. That's an Ollie Davis question right there. It's wild. I haven't even ran that gimmick in like 3 months, and every time I'm on a show, people keep asking. People can ask, and there's usually a short window for stuff like that. But you know what? You can buy 7 FTF shirts and like put a piece of tape over it, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. I'm out here out effing everyone, though.
Stu, if there was a mixed tag match, Ireland versus Scotland versus England, Becky and Sheamus versus Drew and Nikki versus Ospreay and Bea Priestley, who would win?
Jesus, I don't know. That was a lot right there.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I think I would say Ospreay and Priestley, but it's weird because, you know, it's a predetermined thing. Is this a shoot intergender tag match? I would choose Ospreay and B, personally.
Yeah, I'd probably say them.
Eduardo Surrens. Hey, Sean, just wanted to know how the atmosphere was for Mox and Eddie's Wild Thing entrance, because on TV it looks so awesome. Also, sorry that you went from Double or Nothing to Raw.
Oh, so yeah, that was a sucky transition, but Eddie Kingston was so massively over. Like, it felt like the crowd was like, we've got other times we can cheer for Moxley, and we have before. This was like an Eddie appreciation night, because a crowd that size has not been able to appreciate him. And it goes to show you, doesn't matter if somebody's like looks like Eddie Kingston, doesn't have national exposure, is his age. If they're good, they're good. And he's really good and he's over. It was electric in there. That was very cool. Britt Baker was probably the one that I was just like, whoa, that was unreal. Wow. Because the crowd loved both of them. But they were all like, it's her time. It was very cool.
Tyler Woodward, not going to talk about For Your Insanity, but I do want to know about Double or Nothing. Sean Ross Sapp, how was the crowd after Cody won? Me being a Brit, I was pissed, not only because a go-go lost, but because, in caps, I'm sick of Cody winning. Cody has plot armor, Cody has more armor than Batman does.
I would say the most tepid reaction of the night was for that match in live. They reacted more to watching Stadium Stampede on the screen, which got great reactions, than that. And when you pull out Sean Dean and you're playing the, oh, these veterans are here to support Cody and clap for them right before Cody comes out, it's like, oh, man, you really should have leaned into it. You said Cody go heel. Mm-hmm. He should have attacked a go-go's eye. Like, all kinds of stuff, but it just didn't happen.
That's what I was saying. I was saying this is a Cody heel turn. He came dressed out as Homelander. Luke is like, very much no. He thinks he's a baby face. But I'm like, someone said about the focus group explanation, and they said, like, that is the most heelish answer to criticism of a promo ever. And I was like, oh, it is. Maybe Cody is masterworking all of us.
Yeah, I thought so, and I hope so, because Cody is a very, very smart guy. But then when that happened, I was like, this is the perfect time. Like, everybody realizes Cody's the heel, but Cody. And I hope it continues. I hope it results in this, because also Cody swears he's not going to retcon that stipulation. But it would also be a very heel thing to be like, piss off. I can make this decision on my own. It's self-imposed.
I'm a vice president.
Yeah. Otherwise, what is there to cheer for about him? He is his father's son, but he's not his father. He is not a common man. He grew up with a silver spoon in his mouth. He is a rich executive right now who wins a bunch of wrestling matches and can't go for a world title. What are you hoping for out of him? I don't get it.
Brett J. Rasmussen. That role was abysmal. What the hell are they doing with Shayna Baszler? New Day looked amazing in their Power Rangers gear, and RK-Bro is the only good thing on. Double or Nothing was awesome, and always happy to see Sean Ross Sapp, and sorry you have to review Raw again. Josh Rezuskas. What's up, Ollie and Sean? Great to see you guys together outside of Quizzlemania. I hope you find time to guest on WrestleTalk more. I was finally able to pledge to Fightful Select as well today. Thanks for all you guys do.
I appreciate it. It's the first day of the month, so per usual for Patreon, there's a bunch. You know what it is, Ollie. You get like 400 people.
All the cancellations.
All those cancellations and credit card expirations. Go subscribe. I got some contract news coming this week. Got some skizoops. I'm dropping exclusive news every day. FightfulSelect.com, which is now verified on Twitter. They rejected Fightful's verification and accepted Fightful Select's, which has, 30,000 less followers.
Oh, weird. Nut Behrend. I want FTF, Vleet That F, to challenge for the Quizzlemania tag straps. Okay, so you and Chris Van Vleet.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Why does everybody want to be my tag team partner? Sully and Luke and, you know, my original
Sully's
tag team.
Sully's
yeah,
the one.
He's a good one. He's so entertaining. That was the most fun I've ever had on a Quizzlemania.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that one was a blast. He's so funny.
Yeah. Thanks for being... I've not met him in real life. I can't wait for us all to go for a drink together. Thanks, Ollie, for being there for the last few weeks. Helped me a lot with mental stuff. Glad to hear you're doing better. John McNeil, you know this Raw is terrible when it breaks Simon Miller on ups and downs. Look at what you've done, WWE. Even the most positive of men is unable to escape the beatdown from your terrible booking. Love you guys. Also, F this company. And finally, Mitchell Chase. Love this podcast with Sean and Ollie. Please do more. Sean is not a busy man at all, so I'm sure that's really, really easy to accommodate.
Oh, man. I mean, when I saw this, I was like, you know what? I'll do that. I'll step up to bat. Luke slacking. What was it? Roman Reigns cut that promo. You're a part-time and bitch. That Luke wants to be a part-time and bitch. I'm not saying that. Roman Reigns said that. I would never say that. I respect Luke. But Roman Reigns said it. So here I am, stepping up.
I think I emailed you on Friday evening.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, do you want to do the show on Tuesday? And you were not... I didn't know you were going to go to Double or Nothing. And you were like working solidly all that time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And not only that, my word count on WrestleTalk magazine got up last week by like twice as much. So I was doing that. I was doing all that deal. I did have the week off Quizzlemania last week. I was actually, as much as I like being on there, I was like, shoo. But you know, and my friend's Church of Joshi won. It's been a good week.
Yeah. Everyone go over to Fightful Select, Fightful at Sean Ross Sapp on Twitter. Thanks, Sean, for all of the... He is out effing everyone.
And we got the show done.
The S word on this stream.
Got that show done in a crisp hour, Ollie. Before this went on the air. Maybe an hour. Yeah, maybe an hour we can do this.
I figured that was going to be impossible when we started talking about eye surgery. But hey, we had fun. We had a good time. I hope everyone else did too. Subscribe to the WrestleTalk podcast channel. Go over and check out all the Fightful stuff that I just plugged as well. There should be a link in the description below. I might have to update the description below to include that. Luke usually does these things.
I don't
go
see
over
it.
To WrestleTalk as well and check out the WrestleTalk news today. Oh. But for now, jam that jam.
Wait, no. I'll f*** everyone. Wow.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.